Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planestalkers Podcast, the podcast for casuals by casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my always amazing and never playing Nicol Bolas partner in crime, Aramis Perez. How you doing tonight, sir?
I just haven't played Nicol Bolas yet. I have to open him first. Come on, give me a chance.
You mean you're not doing what I'm doing and just buying him outright?
No, I am going to try my luck at opening him first and actually see if Grixis is a thing before spending that kind of money.
Nerd!
Again, I represent that remark.
Oh, that's going to be one of my favorite bumpers, I think. Yes, welcome to your nightmare. Oh, so anyway, how have you been, sir?
Not too bad, still here. Had a pretty good weekend with the magic cards.
Well, I guess we should then...
Untap a keep and draw.
Yeah, let's basically talk about it.
Yeah, because this weekend was interesting, to say the least.
Well, I guess, you know, we should probably lead off by saying... if you're looking for our Saturday broadcast, we're a little late.
We had some issues in that.
Yeah, so basically,
it wasn't our fault.
No, it was nobody's fault. It was no one's fault. There's no real blame to be had. Basically, what happened is that the tournament ran late because the turnout was fantastic. There were over 40 people at our pre-release, and it went an extra round, which pushed everything back about an hour and a half. And by the time we were done with the tournament, they were ready to go, so we couldn't record.
Right. It was that too. I mean, it went from 10 to 5, unfortunately, and so it was kind of like, oh, and I felt bad because Tony, who is our main engineer, he was going to help us out. He was willing to work with us a little bit, but I just felt bad making or even asking him to like do an hour. Or he was going to do a show, you know, and like record a podcast. We just would have done a vodcast with all their equipment. And I just felt kind of bad, like, you know what, dude, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. And, you know, he was really hinting about going home, and I'm like, dude, you absolutely should go home. It's all good. So
it was a long day, and I think...
It really was.
I think if everything had gone, like, if time had been on our side, I think we would have been able to do it, and I think it would have gone well. So with that being said, we are going to still do that broadcast. It's just going to be a little bit later
on. Yes, we are. Yes. So the plan right now is for Modern Horizons pre-release or pre-release, right?
Yeah, I think we agreed that we were going to do the pre-release from Modern Horizons or even like release weekend or something. Something with Modern Horizons.
Yeah. So we're going to do an event for Modern Horizons with them on, you know, and just do the broadcast on that day. So we're hopeful, and I mean, it's probably a better one for us, even though we're more standard than modern. You have a lot of modern info, and there's no way that Modern Horizons is not going to impact, you know, standard in some way, probably. Well, I guess
no, it's not, because none of those cards.
Yeah,
are
it's not
going to
touch
legal.
It, is it? Yeah,
it's not going to touch it at all. But it's going to be one of those things where you're like, wow, I wish this card was in standard. Wait, no, I don't, because it would break the format.
Exactly. So, you know, but that's kind of what happened. I felt bad because I think John was checking in during his wedding because I guess our number one fan there, John, by the way, congratulations. He did marry his girl.
Congrats.
So, very cool. And I guess they were an hour late. They went off an hour late. I guess she forgot the veil.
Whoops.
So, yeah. I'm like, great, I'm getting married in July. Hopefully that doesn't happen to me.
Well, I mean, I guess forgetting the veil is not as bad as forgetting the ring or the bride.
Well, I've been there. So, no, but while Wendy and I were talking, she texted me earlier today, and she's like, I went to order my dress, and they're out of stock. I'm like, oh, no. So she has to kind of go back to the drawing board. But, yeah, so we felt bad about Saturday. It really couldn't be helped. I mean, I feel good about playing in the pre-release. I mean, I had a good time, you know, and I guess we can get, you know, our main topic today is going to obviously be the pre-release, so why don't we just, you know.
Main phase.
Okay, so main phase. Let's kind of talk about pre-release. You know, Aramis and I did show up. We played from 10 a.m. We started the pre-release. We both also bought two boxes, so yay. So, Well, we got two boxes, I should say, because, you know, they, you know, anyway. But, yeah, it was definitely one of those great days. I don't know about you. I enjoyed it. The set's just stupid ridiculous.
Oh, I had a blast. I think this is one of the best sets they've ever done. I think this...
That's what I mean. It's like by stupid ridiculous.
The hype,
I mean,
the hype is real. This set is as advertised. I mean, it's... The power level is through the roof. I mean, there's so many commons that you play them, you're like, wait, this isn't a rare?
Well, the uncommon planeswalkers are better than I thought they'd be.
Yes, they're almost all really good. There's a few that are actually kind of amazing.
Ob in limited is stupid.
Ashiok in limited is ridiculous.
Yes, I had both.
Yeah. So, I guess, you know, Benson, what did you pull? What did you build?
Well, it's weird because I pulled Iliad, or what the heck is it? Ilharg.
Big pig.
It. I pulled the big pig. I pulled Domri. I pulled Domri's...
ambush.
Helper there. Yeah.
Domri's ambush, yeah.
So it looked like I was going to go red, and I started putting it together, and I even sleeved it up and got ready to go. And I had a pretty decent, you know, gruel deck. And then we were sitting there, and I mean, I wasn't hanging with you. You had built something different. And then you went looking through my cards, and you were like, because my... promo card was Summon the Eternals or whatever.
Oh, Enter the God Eternals.
Yes, Enter the God Eternals. And so you took a look at my, and you were like, actually, Benson, you need to switch, like, now. I'm like, what do you mean? And you're like, no, you've got a better Esper deck. So, and we looked through it, and I did. So I played Esper. Mm-hmm. I had enough mana fixing from the artifacts, so that helped. Mm-hmm. And then, I did okay, you know, overall. What did you build?
Well, opening my packs, the rares, like, I didn't have any rares that were, like, ridiculously powerful. I didn't open any mythics, which I was kind of, you know, I was a little disappointed about that.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what the first inclination that I had was to go into possibly red-black or black-green, because my promos were a Vraska and a, I think it was what, Widespread Brutality, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, well, maybe that could be a thing that I could do. And then I opened my packs, and I opened up a Jace. And I was like, well, I gotta play blue, because, I mean, Jace is pretty good. And I ended up playing basically Dimir. Blue-black control. I played Vraska in the deck because, you know, she's a hybrid, so she's essentially a black card. I had her, right. I had Jace, Obnixilis, Ugin. I forgot that I opened Ugin. He's pretty good, by the way, especially
he
in limited.
He is pretty good. Obnixilis I also opened.
Yeah, and I also opened a Spark Double and a Kaya. So I had a bunch of good Planeswalkers. I opened a foil Awakening of Vitugazi, so for a brief moment I'm like, oh, I wish I could play green. This is such a good card. I want to have instant speed 9/9s. But No, I played blue-black, good amount of removal. Basically, it was a deck that sort of sat back, waited for the Planeswalkers to show up, and then took over. I had some proliferate cards. Flux Channeler is very good in a control deck because you start casting your removal spells with Planeswalkers out. They all start getting loyalty counters, and it just kind of snowballs from there. I ended up going 4-1. The one person I lost to, he won the tournament.
Yes, he did.
He won the tournament, and rightly so, because he was playing Esper, splashing for Tolsimir, friend of Wolves or whatever it's called. He had an Oketra. He had a Spark Double. He had Ashiok. He had Ugin. I mean, his deck was absurd.
He was stacked.
He ended up killing me game 3 by casting Oketra, following it up with a couple of dirty little, you know, random creatures, like a 1-drop and a 2-drop to make 2/4/4s. And then on his following turn, he played the White Bond, tapped my team, and hit me for about 25. And this was like turn 7. I mean, maybe turn five, six.
I saw his deck. He had a. Yeah, I'm kind of glad I didn't play him.
It was gross.
Yeah, I did okay. I went. I think I went 1-1-2.
Yep.
So, I didn't play the fifth round because at that point I was out. And I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, the two that I that went to time. Well, the one guy didn't slow play. It was just playing Esper Control. I mean, I knew it was going to, you know, the game was going to kind of go a little slower. And this is a slower form.
This is a slow set. This is a haymaker set. You just sit back and let your bombs do the work.
Yeah, it really was. And it was really tight, but it was, what happened was, I mean, game one, I won game one.
Mm-hmm.
Game two, I lost. Through basically game one I lost because I didn't have enough time to really get my deck set. Mm-hmm. I didn't have my mana fixing. Remember, we put it together in like 5 minutes, so I lost handily. I went down 2-0.
When I told you to switch, by the time you'd gotten the main deck put together, you were still sleeving when the round one pairings went up, so you just kind of threw lands in there, so you didn't you didn't get to fix your mana until after round one.
Right, so then round two I did well. I won that round pretty handily. It was pretty much, you know, I was playing a younger kid, and his deck really was not... He had two different complete decks, and he tried playing me first with an Innisfil deck, and, I mean, yes, Omnixilis got out almost every game, and what a freaking card for me. Like, you know, to be able to... And then to have Ashiok on the back... So you have Ob start, you know, have them discarding cards, and then I've got Enter the Eternals, or the God Eternals. So now all of a sudden I've got cards going into their graveyard, and if I've got Ashiok in there, I'm then exiling their entire graveyard. I got rid of Nicol Bolas twice that way.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up putting in their graveyard in a Liliana. So,
yeah.
You know, overall I was pretty okay with the deck. Game three, we went to time. That was not his fault. It was really... Him and I were just really slugging it out back and forth. It was really just one of those really great matches. He won game one. I sideboarded really well for game two against his deck. And then game three, it just went to time. There's nothing we could do.
Hmm.
And then game four. And Captain Slowplay. we were playing not so much Amir, but very close.
He had Liliana in his deck as well.
He did. And I mean, and I had enough removal to get rid of it, and I was doing okay. You know, I won game one. He got game two, but he took forever to do it. And then game three, we were kind of smashing each other, and then I started to stabilize, and then all of a sudden we're getting down to about 2 minutes, and every turn now he is taking 45, you know, 35, 40 seconds to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you son of a gun, man. So, you know, and we did. We got down to time. I needed one more turn.
Don't you hate that?
I had him.
Don't you hate that?
You
get there, you're like, literally, I need one more untap, and this game is mine. And whoops, sorry, that's the end of the fifth turn. It's a draw.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a little frustrating. I mean, he's a newer player. So I'm not slamming him by any stretch. I don't think he was doing anything wrong, or I would have called a judge. I would have had no problem calling a judge. You know, so it is what it is, but it was still a little bit like...
Yeah, I mean, especially in the pre-release environment, I mean, for the most part, you're there to learn what the cards do, so slower play is kind of to be expected, because half the time, you know, you might have put the card in your deck, but not actually read what it does, so you don't really know...
Right, you just might have been playing color.
Yeah, it's like, all right, this is a black card, and like, okay, so how does this interact with my board state? I'm not sure, let me think, do I want to play this? Like, because a card like Enter the God Eternals... It's a pretty straightforward card, but at the same time, you're like, when's the best time to play this?
Right. And I think I played him as well as I could, and especially that game three. I removed things when I needed to. I got in things when I, you know.
He was clutch with his top decks with blockers, though. He drew that Sphinx late. I think of his turn two on extra turns, because you had the three extra, he had the two extra. His first extra turn... He played that Sphinx, and as soon as he did, I was watching the match because mine was already done, and I said to myself, this game's going to draw. Benz is not going to have the damage to push through.
But I managed to get rid of it. It just wasn't enough to...
He stalled. He stalled the board just enough so where you didn't have the extra 2 points of damage you needed to win.
Yep. And then I got what I did is... time wiped. I managed to time wipe on turn four.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled back, or no, might have been turn five. Pulled back my flyer, put them back in my hand, time wipe, put them back out. Like cat, no, it was turn four, and then he
it was turn
got
four.
Some way
yeah,
to,
he, yeah, he and did. Then he found he some did way. Something. I forget what it was that he yeah. did that enabled him to basically stop you from being able to attack for the win at that point.
Yep. And it was, and it was, he was down to two, and it was. Yeah. I mean, because and Ob was my all-star, man. That thing just kept going, and it kept doing the damage it needed to do, and yeah. Oh, he, and when he messed up, his mistake was he had he had Vraska out,
mm-hmm.
and he picked up, instead of, he had a way to pick up a Planeswalker, put it back in his hand, and start over, and he had Obby down to one, and he had Vraska was down to one, and he had Obby down to like three, and he put Obby back in his hand. I'm yeah. like, oh no, you should have took Vraska. You could have had blockers again.
That was the that was the turn that he played the Sphinx. He bounced
yeah.
Obnixilis instead of Vraska.
I yeah,
think
and
he
was like, okay, I'm good.
I think he was thinking of getting the extra activation out of it, but I mean, he probably, I don't think he had activated it for the turn either when he did it.
No, he hadn't.
I know something else that he did is that he forgot that it was in a previous game where he had Liliana in the graveyard. He went to cast that Aid of the Fallen.
Yeah,
he was going to get it back.
He didn't grab her,
so he ended up having to get like a Lazatep Reaver, some you know, dirty little yeah. 1/2, and then he was like, oh well, I thought I had Liliana in my graveyard, but I guess that was the last game. But this set is crazy. It
really is. It's just
so many constructed playable cards. Wow.
It's really worthwhile. I, you know, if you haven't played this set yet on Arena or at your LGS, you know, go this Friday. It's definitely worthwhile. Go buy a box
if you can find one, because our store sold out on the pre-release day.
Yeah,
and I've heard that happening at other stores too. They're actually selling out of this, which, I mean,
it happened with Dominaria.
Yeah, but not this fast.
No, it actually did, at least in my store. They were out Friday night on pre-release, and they were out first week.
I had never heard of a set selling out this quickly until War of the Spark. So if Dominaria did sell out, I'm sure it did in some places, but it's definitely more widespread with War of the Spark. This set has so many cards that will impact so many formats, and so many of them are so good. A lot of so's in this, but
yeah,
wow, this set is absolutely crazy. If you can find a box, buy a box, preferably from your local game store.
Absolutely.
You know, if you buy it from Walmart, you're overpaying. If you buy it from Amazon, you're not supporting local stores, unless your local store is on Amazon, in which case, you know, go nuts,
go to town. Yeah,
get some of that delicious Amazon Prime.
I don't know, should I buy a third box?
That's on you, man. I'm drafting on Friday, that's all I know.
Oh, I could buy a box.
But what do you do with all those extra commons?
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I mean, I do. I have all the commons now. I've got most of the uncommons. I've got the only Planeswalkers I'm missing after opening two boxes and the pre-release is Gideon and Nicol.
Mm-hmm. I'm missing Liliana and Gideon. Not Liliana and yeah. Nicol Bolas, which are yeah. also the two most valuable cards in the set, but whatever.
Yeah, Liliana's just, she's ridiculous.
Lily's a
and I
truck.
Did open one of her.
Lily is a truck. Yeah, that was your first yeah. pack.
Yeah.
Very first pack of the box you opened. Boom, Liliana, value, done. I can go home now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really worthwhile. I was really, very happy with the whole thing. You know, I highly recommend, you know, let's see, what have I bought now? I've got three more Teferi Times are showing up
okay. The
next week, and I've got three Nicols showing up next week.
Oh.
And then I've got two more of Ilyarg or whatever the hell is, I forget
Ilharx?
His name is. Ilharx. Yeah, I got two more of him showing up because I opened two, and I'm like, yeah, he can go in my Gruul deck pretty well, actually. So
should we call him Big Pig or Bacon King?
I like Bacon King personally.
Or Big Bacon.
Yep. I've got two Nicol Boluses. I've got a Teferi Time Reaver. I got three Teferi Time Reaver comings and three Nicol Boluses coming.
Wow. Yeah, so. I'm gonna hold off on ordering singles until I know what I'm building for Syracuse.
Yeah, what? Come on, like you don't know. You're not going to go with control.
It's probably going to be control. The question is going to be what shell.
Yes, which could bring us, actually. But, I mean, this is way too early for us to get to combat. But, I mean, I think that's going to be our combat today, is talking about which flavor of control.
Delicious or delicious?
Yes. So, I mean, and Liliana is just stupid.
She's a truck.
Like, I never realized, like, her ultimate...
Wins the game.
Game ender.
It wins the game. Because, yeah, you're keeping your best permanent, but I have Liliana.
Yeah. And your best permanent, by the way, one of each, including lands?
Yeah, one land, all this other stuff. By the way, I'm setting up for it, you're not. And since it's wiping...
Because by the time she comes out on turn six, means that board state is pretty...
Pretty messy. You know. And she starts off basically by bartering in blood, so she's like, I'm just going to kill those two. Well, you get to pick, but still.
Yeah. It's a little bit ridiculous.
She's very, very good. I mean, six mana feels appropriate for her. I mean, any cheaper, she would be so busted. Any more expensive, she might not be as playable. Six seems to be the perfect spot for her.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of the really great cards are at five or six right now.
Yeah.
Five is the big active number. Enter the God Eternals is five. I think Nicol's five.
Nicol's five. A very hard five, but it's five.
Yeah, boy, what a five, yeah. Well, with Shock, he's hard and limited. I was playing a draft earlier, and I drafted Nicol. And I got him out once, but it was like way, way late, and it was too late to do anything with him. I'm like, as far as limited goes, yeah, you know what? If you're drafting and you open Nicol Bolas, you take Nicol Bolas because, oh my God, you don't let anybody else get him. But... Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that he's actually kind of splashable in a certain sense. If you're Dimir or you're Rakdos.
If you're playing black.
If you're playing black, red, or black, blue, he's splashable for whatever the other colors are. So he could be your only card in those colors. And it would work. It's just, again, you know, it's like with any other bomb. It's about being able to draw it and being able to cast it. And he's a little bit harder to cast because he's no colorless mana. And he's three colors.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you this. How did you feel about the mechanics?
Amass is good. I was playing a little bit of Constructed before, I think it was Thursday or Friday night, and I'm testing an Esper build and that I saw online. And one of the things that I did was, at the end of my opponent's turn, I cast a Commence the Endgame for 7, so I drew two cards and made a 7/7 zombie. And during my turn, he didn't have any creatures on the board because I had already established control. So I was basically trying to finish the game at this point. I cast Enter the God Eternals, targeting my own army token to making it an 11/11.
Right.
And so I hit my own zombie token for 4. I gained 4, milled him for 4, gave my token +4/+4, swung for 11 damage, and he promptly scooped. So it's a fun little interaction to have, being able to, you know, grow that army in different ways. I do kind of wish there was a way to spread out the tokens a little more. I get the idea of a big singular army with one purpose attacking, but being able to be stopped by a Birds of Paradise seems kind of weird. At the same time, Proliferate, wow.
Yeah.
It's guess what? Nothing's changed. It's still stupid. I hate it, but I also love it.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy with it for what it gave me for my commander deck. So
everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm very, very happy with some of what I saw in there. Like what I'm still trying to figure out what exactly is going to go.
Plain white celebration should go in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Proliferate 4 times. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for playing. Well, I've thought about putting some of the Amass in there.
You could, yeah, because, like, you know, Proliferate works with that. I mean, it's definitely. I mean, in the sealed tournament, having, like I said, the Flux Channeler, and casting any random non-creature spell, when you have 4 Planeswalkers in play and a couple of them and a mass token, okay, so I guess that gets +1/+1. My 4 Planeswalkers get 4 loyalty counters. Oh, look, I can activate my Planeswalkers again.
Yeah, I put Flux Channeler in my Esper on Marina, and I took it out. I was like, okay, this is much better in sealed than
it's a limited card. It's too slow for its size. It dies to everything, and it doesn't do anything by itself.
Right. So yeah, I have to agree with you. Amass did well for me. Most of what I did in Esper, like when I was trying to choose which cards, it was like, okay, this amasses. So even the one that gives me hexproof and lets me amass one. you were like, why are you keeping that in there? I'm like, well, it gives me hex proof and lets me add another one to my guys, which kind of lets, and it did, it worked. The mechanic on that worked in that I was hex proof. You really can't do much to me. It's a dive down that lets you also add one to your mass. Yeah, I mean, really what it is. And it does it to everything as opposed to just one permanent.
Yeah, it's not a bad card by any means. I think it was one of those things where it's like it's a 23rd, 24th card where you can definitely cut it and get away with something a little bit better, but it's one of those cards right at the end where you're like, well, I need one more playable. This could do it. Something else could do it. But, you know, it's a great card. It's essentially a good counterspell. Yeah, it curves and it's a cheap spell. And if you happen to, like, I saw you a couple times take advantage of it where they plop down an Obnixilis and they're like, oh, kill that. You're like, no.
Yeah, I did that at least twice.
Yeah, I remember seeing one of them and I was like, okay, that's definitely a good use out of the card. It's not bad by any means.
I faced a lot. I got Ob out a lot, but I faced it a lot, too. Like, I think both the times I went to time, they had Obbies. Hmm. The kid I was playing, my game two, it was really funny because, and I hope that people were cooler after that. He had, he had Kefnet and he had a Ketra. Hmm. He had Illark. And, you know, Kefnet, game one, he never got Illark out. But game two, he played with his blue. I think he was playing blue, white, black. I think he was just playing blue, white, actually. And he, you know, so he's sitting there, and he gets Keffi, and I get rid of it. I've just killed it. And then he's, like, putting it in the graveyard, and I'm like, okay, hold on. Dude, I can't let you do this. You have the option of putting that third from the top. You need to be putting that third from the top.
Yeah, if it says it doesn't stay dead, make sure it doesn't stay dead.
Yeah. Like, and it's the same with Exile. It's why I didn't Exile it, because I had a card that could Exile it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's just a waste on that, you know.
They come with built-in Teferi Tucks.
Yeah, it just... Yeah, this set is really... I think the gods are probably the biggest bomb as far as Constructed's going to go. I could see bombs... Or Kefnet going into each of... Or not Kefnet, but one of the gods going into each of the color-based Constructed decks. I think Ilarg's going to go in a Gruul slash... Or even a Jeskai. Kefnet is definitely going into Esper, probably Grixis, probably Jeskai. Oketra.
Oketra should see play somewhere.
Oketra can see play in mono white aggro decks or any sort of white something aggro. It's not really good for control.
No, aggressive card. It's definitely because its main ability triggers off of creature spells. So it's an aggressive card for an aggressive deck. It's your finisher. It's your insurance policy, and it's to make sure you don't run out of gas. Because, I mean, it's just getting a 4/4 for no extra mana investment when you cast any creature. I mean, and I believe the tokens have vigilance as well. So it's just, it's a crazily powerful card. In limited, it's like best of the best bomb. Probably one of the best bombs they've ever printed for white. I mean, because they always do that 5-mana mythic creature that does crazy things, like Crested Sunmare. Only this is like Crested Sunmare, like after after a couple of hits of meth, and then maybe dropped a bit of acid on top of it, and then decided to go to a rave. Because he's bringing all his friends. It's just all the gods will see play. I think if there's one that has the least chance of seeing play, I would say it's either Bantu or Ilharg.
I think Bantu. I think Ilharg's
maybe Ronus.
I was seeing some deck lists for Gruul with Ilharg in it, and I'm like, oh wait, that does a Gruul Warrior deck that can be a thing.
I mean, and you're right because it's actually it's a 6/6 for 5 if nothing else,
and it's letting you bring in things and pop them back out, so you're keeping cards in your hand.
Yeah.
So, which is a problem with Gruul or any sort of red deck, is that, having cards in hand. Hmm. So, this whole set is just, it's not broken by any stretch, but it is very exciting time. I do think it's going to break standard in that we've had a really, really great kind of standard season of, of a lot of parity between, and aggro and combo and tempo and all these different types of decks, to be, you know, we've had this great parity between them. And I think now, you know, and this is going to lead us right into combat, is that, you know, in fact, I will just, let's just go right there right now and just, you know.
Combat phase.
Okay, so combat phase today is going to talk about, leading in from what I was just saying, I think control is going to go far and away be the pretty much biggest, baddest, you know, thing on the block. It's just going to be ridiculous. There's too many gifts given to both Grixis and Esper. There is some Jeskai. I'm seeing some Jeskai out there, actually, Arena. But I think of the two, it's pretty much Grixis and Esper. So our combat phase today is, you know, which do you think, now that we've had our hands on some War of the Spark cards, and you and I have touched almost all of the cards at this point, what's the best one?
No, I get to lead off on this one, huh?
Well, I'll let you lead off.
I will say this. Usually with new standard formats, the first two weekends, usually aggro actually kind of dominates a little bit, because those tend to be the easier decks to play because they're more proactive. And it takes control.
I don't think that's going to happen this weekend.
It takes control a couple of weeks to adapt to that.
Well, I think Sultai can come back out of the woodwork this week. I could see that. The Hydra that they got this week, as well as some of the other stuff in Simic and Golgari, I could see that. But I still think, you're not wrong about the aggro, but this is a different standard season in that really the biggest and best decks for the last couple of months have already been tempo and control.
Yeah.
There's not been a rotation.
Well, so I'm not saying it's going to change. Yeah. I'm not saying it's going to change where control is not going to be like king of the hill anymore. I'm just saying that it takes control a little bit longer to adapt to a new metagame than it does for an aggro deck or a mid-range deck, because, you know, you could show up with a bunch of critters and turn them sideways, and it's going to take control a couple of weeks to decide, okay, well, how many board wipes do I want? What creature removal, what counter magic suite, you know, what planeswalkers do I want? Whereas with aggro, it's like, this is a creature. It hits things. I hit you.
You're not wrong. So. I do think control is going to be... this weekend's what? Star City Games, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's also the release weekend, so...
Yeah. So I think for the event this weekend, I mean, I think... I'm going to be very surprised if Grixis or Esper don't run the table. Probably more Esper. I mean, for me, the best control deck right now, still bar none, given what we've seen, is going to be... Yeah, and discounting Nicol Bolas. And Nicol Bolas is stupid. We all know that Nicol Bolas is stupid. But I think Esper has more ways to deal with it than others. I mean, it gets a lot of the Planeswalker hate inside of... I mean, they both get it. But I think White has a couple of spells.
Well, White has Teferi.
Yes.
White has Teferi. And Dovin's Veto.
Right. And that's kind of part of it, is that Dovin's Veto for me is... I'm no longer playing Negate. I put Dovin's Veto in. I'm like,
yeah. You shouldn't be playing Negate anymore. If you have the option of playing Dovin's Veto, you play Dovin's Veto. It's a little harder to cast, but the number of times you cast Negate on turn two are so low anyway that Dovin's Veto is just a better card.
It really is. And in my Esper deck, usually turn two is where I'm going to try to squeeze out of Thought Erasure as opposed to anything else.
Yeah, turn two, you're either tapping off a Thought Erasure or search for Ezcanta.
Yeah. So, I mean, let me take a look here. But, I mean, white, blue, white, and black has just such a better synergy, I think, than Grixis, other than Nicol Bolas.
The big thing is that a lot of the toys that Esper gets, a lot of them too, Grixis does have access to, because, you know, some of them aren't just mono black.
It's black, yeah.
Because black, I think, is far and away the best color in this set.
Huge.
I mean, Grixis in general, I think, is the best color combination in the set, because they got some of the best cards. Or even, I guess you could say black, red, white. because, well, yeah, Grixis, because blue got some stuff, but that was mostly paired with other colors. But yeah, it's, you're saying that Esper, you think, is the best.
I do. The proliferate helps with the white stuff. Ravnica at War can take out almost all of the, you know, Grixis big bads.
That takes out all the Esper ones, too.
Yeah, but the big bads in Esper, they're...
Teferi.
They can be 10 to... Yeah, Teferi.
But, also Teferi, you know, there's two of them now.
Well, I mean, Narset is a great card for that. Jace is a great card.
I don't see...
Kefnet.
I don't see any of those cards going into Esper.
I think Narset's going into Esper because it's going to stop... It's going to shut down a few things that let you... Like, it takes away the card advantage, especially if you're playing mono blue.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it? It kills Curious Obsession. And then lets you kind of card fixes too by looking at the top four cards of your hand. Every list I've seen so far of the new Esper control has one Narset. They take out a Kaya.
So it's
because a lot of them are playing with two Kayas.
Is it Narset in the main or Narset in the side?
Narset in the main.
Really? I don't think it's a main deck card.
I like the card advantage, though. It's kind of like letting you do Search for his Kanta
mm-hmm.
without getting seven cards in your graveyard.
No, that's true. That's true. For her minus ability, that is pretty good. How much does she cost again?
Three. Two blue and a colorless.
Paying three mana for a Planeswalker. I mean, it's hard because you don't really necessarily want to play her on turn three because you can't react to anything.
Protect her. Yeah, you can't protect her.
Yeah.
But you're playing her probably, you know, turn four or five. I've gotten her out turn three a few times, and she's lived.
Well, yeah, if you can, like, with any of the three mana Planeswalkers, you untap with them, you have a really, you know, you're really in the driver's seat at that point. I mean, especially with the new Teferi. If you untap with that, you don't win the game automatically, obviously, but you're so far ahead at that point because they are stuck doing things during their main phase where you can just sit back and go, well, I'm just going to keep this one counterspell back because...
No more counterspells for you.
Yep. Or you could just be like, plus one, pass turn, at the end of your draw step, thought erasure. What'd you draw? I want to see what that is. Oh, and you can't respond to it, by the way. Sorry.
My bad. Yeah, it's definitely... I think Esper's got a lot more synergy when it comes to... I mean, and really what the choice is, red or white at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the difference between Esper and Grixis is red or white.
The other problem, keep in mind, is that
Esper's
been an established and tuned archetype a little bit longer than Grixis.
It has.
Grixis has sort of been on the fringe for a while because it's always been missing a couple cards to prevent it from being really a top-notch deck, and it has those now in spades. So... The one advantage that Esper has over Grixis is that Esper's had more time to be tuned.
Right.
Give the pros a couple of weeks to play around with this, and I promise you that both of these decks are going to be fighting each other for the number one spot.
I would agree with that. So do you think which one, right? So you're thinking Grixis. Do you think Grixis is going to come out on top is the question.
I'm on the fence. I mean, it's going to be close. I think you can't go wrong with either one. They both do the same thing a little bit differently. I would say the Grixis strategy is probably a little bit more aggressive.
It is. Well, I mean, I think a card that could go in there, believe it or not, and then you put it in with Sir Healy, is Mizzium Tank. Yeah, it's too red, but every time you cast a non-creature spell, which you're doing in control in spades, it's going to give you a 4/3 creature that you didn't have to crew. Oh, and by the way, since it's an artifact, it can be copied by Sir Healy.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know if Mizzium Tank, because it's there's probably something else you could use as a finisher for that. It's not a bad card, but I would probably say if I had to pick between the two decks, see, it's hard because I don't have a lot of experience playing Grixis because I never had access to the Nicol Bolas. I would say in terms of consistency, Esper has the crown. I would say in terms of what deck scares me more, Grixis.
Yeah. I think Tybalt's going to also, believe it or not, tip that a little bit. Not because of what he does. His little 1/1 red devil.
He doesn't have a second ability. What are you talking about?
But that your opponents can't gain life. And here's the thing. Esper lives on that. Like, I live on my life gain.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
I could see Tybalt actually being a board option in mono red.
Yes, I would agree
because
with that.
Because life gain has always been the one problem that deck has had where it's like, all right, I've dealt 16 damage to you, but you're still at 10 life. I can't get that last 10 damage off the board. Tybalt says, no, you never gain that extra life. Sorry, you lose.
Oh, and I didn't open an Awakening of Vidugazi either, by the way.
Mine is shiny.
Did you get your... Oh, you got a foil.
Yeah, remember them? It was in my pre-release pack.
Yeah, that's right. It was. You
my shiny
God.
Instant Speed 99 that I didn't get
I'm
to
surprised
play.
You didn't play green on that.
My Esper was so much better.
I know. I had a... I did open a shiny God Eternal Ronus, so...
That's nice. Foil Mythics are always good.
Yes. So, I mean, I guess... I mean, I don't know that we can say either one of us won this one.
It's too soon to tell.
It really
is. We don't know what the metagame looks like yet. I mean, people are brewing. People are starting to post stuff. We really need that first...
Red and white's going to be a thing this weekend, I think, I think red and white's going to be huge this weekend.
We need that first event to go down. Get a top eight deck list. See what's being played. See what's being successful. I think control will be there. Aggro will definitely be there. It'll be interesting to see if Sultai Midrange makes a comeback. I mean, not that it ever really went anywhere.
But it just wasn't hanging.
It just wasn't performing. But it's.
But I think Bioessence Hydra, Casualties of War, and
Enter the God Eternal.
Enter the God Eternal. And I would even say Nissa Who Shakes the World.
Yeah.
Like, there's just too much. They got some. Green got some. And of course, the little land, it becomes a 9/9 for, you know, a turn.
No, that's permanently.
Oh, is it permanent?
You put 9 +1/+1 counters on it.
God damn it. I could see Sultai becoming a thing. Well, maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong about the whole, I think this is going to break standard, but I think control is still going to be the way to go once things kind
of
settle.
Control is still king of the hill. I don't see how that changes in the long term. I just think there's too much out there right now, especially with the plethora of planeswalkers, look at that they added. I mean, it's just I don't see how control doesn't stay on top. There's nothing that points to anything else happening.
I guess I gotta agree with that too. It's definitely gonna be control. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I really am. I'm ready for this. I'm like, I'm all about this. Let's get it on. Let's get this over with. You know, and let's see where we're going. Let's get to Core 2020, which will be a nice palate cleanser. And, you know, what was it? Somebody's like, today at work, somebody was looking through my binder like, wow, a Johnny's Primate, that thing's sick, man. That's going to change everything. I'm like, it's been back since Core 2019.
Yeah.
I'm like, and that's another thing. Ugin is actually pretty useful.
Ugin might see some play.
I don't think Karn is going to.
Karn might see play in, like, Legacy or Modern.
Commander
for sure, but I think in the... This is the thing, too, is that there's... A lot of these cards were like, oh, it's not good for Standard, but it's going to be good in other formats. It's like, there's a home for so many of these cards. Like, Pauper got crazy toys in this set.
It really did.
Obnixilus' Cruelty is, like, automatically the best removal spell they've got now.
Yeah. Because
it kills everything.
I can't disagree. And I mean, for Commander, Niv-Mizzet Reborn, I am probably going to do the whole I'm going to build a guild deck.
You have fun with that, sir.
A guild Commander deck is what I mean. Like building an EDH, you know,
you,
10 guilds.
You go ahead and have fun with Super Saiyan Niv-Mizzet.
Well, think about it, man. It's kind of busted.
Well, I mean,
Commander.
It's one of those cards where if you cast and you have your deck set up the right way, yeah, you'll probably win because you've got the 10 best cards in your deck just sitting there waiting to be cast. I just think the payoff is too hard to set up for.
I can get that.
You know, it's I don't know if it's good for a commander, but if you have another 5 color card in there that you could play that could be your commander and then play that, I don't know. I mean, it's. It's tough. It's a card that you want to break. I'm just not sure it's breakable.
Well, all right. So combat, I'm going to say we probably snarfed a little bit. We got kind of a tie on that one.
Yeah, it's too soon to tell. It really is too soon to tell.
So let's go into... No.
Main Phase.
Okay. So, Main Phase 2. We have a few things we can go over. First of all, we don't have any mail this week. Thanks, John.
Wow.
Had to go get married. Yeah.
Thanks, bud.
Nerd!
Hey, it wasn't me this time. Yay!
But yeah, no. So with that, we're just going to kind of go over real quick. Well, there's a piece of news, but first of all, I kind of wanted to ask you, Aramis. Mm-hmm. So this is an Ask Aramis for me. What singles, if any, you would recommend somebody going out onto TCG Player or their local games shop? What should people be looking for right now, do you think?
Well,
like universal, like Nicol Bolas is almost universal.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking universal. No matter necessarily what you're playing, if you're any sort of collector, what ones are you going to be really kind of going after? You think they're going to be hard to find in packs and
specifically War of the Spark?
Yes.
That's tough to say. I mean, again, cuz it's so early in the set's life that we don't know what's going to be good. There's a lot of speculation on certain cards, so if you want to follow that route, then yes, you want to try to get your hands on Liliana, you want to try to get your hands on Nicol Bolas, the new Teferi, any of the God Eternals.
Yeah, I think the God Eternals are the biggest bombs right now.
Yeah, look for the Mythics and sort of go from there. There's certain rares that you'd want to look for. People are trying to break Dreadhorde Invasion. So if you think that might be something that's going to be good later on, try to see if you can pick some of those up. I would say that
Dreadhorde Invasion. Hold on,
It's the two mana enchantment. It's the Bitter Blossom.
Oh, okay.
It makes you amass every turn for one, and then if you attack with a zombie with power 6 or greater, it gains lifelink, but you also lose a life every turn.
Oh, screw you.
it's Bitter Blossom. Bitter Blossom is an extremely powerful card. So this is not as good as Bitter Blossom. But people are trying to see how good it is, so that might be something you want to try to pick up. I think
Massacre Girl is going to actually be useful.
Massacre Girl could be useful. She's cheap right now. She's only a couple of dollars. But she's definitely a board wipe. She could be a sideboard card against White Weenie, because just the death triggers stack, and it gets kind of stupid when that happens. But I would say good advice that I got, I can credit the professor at Tolarian Community College. if you were trying,
that guy's kind of funny.
If you're trying to build a deck for standard, don't buy booster boxes, buy singles, like you were saying. So, yep. Think about what deck you want to build. Go from there. Try to do it at your local game store if you can. If you can't, Amazon's an option. TCG Player is an option. Channel Fireball is an option. But always try to go to your local game store first, see if they have it or can get it for you, so that way you keep the business local. But yeah, look at the Mythics, look at some of the high end rares. Check the prices at like MTG Goldfish. They sort of tell you what's trending up, what's trending down. So if you want to speculate on certain cards and do finance stuff, we are not MTG Finance. Don't listen to a single word.
No, we are not even
say.
Close.
So yeah, just. Keep an eye on what's out there. Keep an eye on what you want to build. And just, it's kind of vague advice, I know, but yeah, just kind of go from there.
So what would you say is the best uncommon Planeswalker?
Best uncommon Planeswalker? Ashiok's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too.
Ashiok is pretty good.
I think it's kind of hard to walk away from Ashiok. I mean, in Limited, I think Ob is a really good tool for you to have in Limited. Kaya is good.
Kaya's really good. Vraska's really good.
Yeah, she actually, yeah, she kind of pissed me off, actually.
Saheeli is one you could build around. She's got potential as a combo one, so, I mean, I wouldn't sleep on Saheeli. Narset, like you were saying, is good.
Wanderer if you're facing red.
Yeah, Wanderer if you're facing red. Tybalt if you are red, facing off against anybody with life gain, which is, finally, Tybalt might have a use, which is great, good for Tybalt.
No, he didn't.
So yeah, almost all the uncommon planeswalkers have a good use somewhere. They really hit a home run with this set. It's crazy. I mean, we thought Ravnica Allegiance was really good. We thought Guild of Ravnica was really good. We thought Dominaria was really good. War of the Spark is just another entire league better than these sets. And apparently,
yeah,
this is
wrong.
the Well, apparently, too, this is the direction that these sets are going to be going from here on out. The quality of these sets is going to be going up like this from going forward.
I don't see how they can keep it up, though. I mean, at some point, it's just going
to
be like...
They finally realize that they have to print good cards at every rarity level.
Yeah.
So I think you know, this might just be the beginning. I mean, who knows? The next main set, I don't think core set's going to be this crazy. The next main set might be just as good, which is...
It's some new realm, right? We're going to a new plane?
I believe that is what the consensus is that we're going to visit a new plane for a little while, sort of give this story a chance to rest before we come back to it, because...
In 3 years.
Spoiler alert.
4 years.
Spoiler alert, guys. I'm going to talk a little bit about the story here. Nicky Daddy ain't dead.
He
lost. Badly. But he ain't dead. So, you know, he I imagine, like you're saying, probably in 3 years or so, he'll be making
I think they'll do it for 2024 or 2023 in 4 years. So the 30th anniversary, hey, look who's back.
You know what I wonder? They either that, or maybe they finally give Urza a proper Planeswalker card. Unless that's in Modern Horizons.
That'd be something.
Because Sarah's in it, so maybe Modern Horizons is in it. Because Morrow did say that Modern Horizons, they in playtesting, they called it Time Spiral 2. So that gives them a chance to go to the past. Wouldn't that be something if Urza was a card?
Could you imagine if they print the... Oh, my goodness. And that's a question we could do for next week, too, is like, you know, because we were asking about it at the table this week, but lands, because, you know, what's rotating out is the Czech lands.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they going to bring in?
Yeah, what's the gimmick?
And, yeah. What if they brought in, I don't know, a power plant, maybe? And
reprinting Urza's power plant? No way.
Research, reprint Tron, period. Give everybody the opportunity for Tron.
If they bring back the Eldrazi, then maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there was some news with Watanabe, but you guys can look that up, I think. You know, I don't know that we want to... We don't have enough information, I don't think, yet.
Well, no, I can actually have it brought up right here. He was...
Oh, do you? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so this past weekend was the Mythic Championship in London. It was a modern tournament. They were testing out the London Mulligan, which I heard was actually a pretty good success, so we may see this actually...
We're going to see it.
Yeah, they're gonna look at the numbers, they're going to look and see how the game's played out, but they said if things go well, they're going to roll out the London Mulligan to all formats. It's probably going to happen. I think modern didn't break in half like people were scared that it was going to. But one of the big things that came out of the tournament was that Yuya Watanabe, he had qualified for the top eight, and then he got disqualified for having marked cards. So here's the transcript from the announcement that they made during the broadcast. It was during a deck check in round 15 of MC2. The judge staff noticed an issue with Yuya Watanabe's deck where the sleeves were in his sleeves. They were Urza's power plant sleeves. The sleeves were marked in a specific way. Three Urza's mines and one Urza's tower had a different marking, and three Urza's tower and one Urza's mine also had a different marking. No other cards in the deck or sideboard had any of these marks. The staff determined that the odds of this happening by accident were close to non-existent and disqualified Yuya Watanabe from the event. This infraction will further be investigated by the MPL, according to Wizards of the Coast representatives. So Yuya's posted some stuff on Twitter in his defense saying he didn't realize that this had happened. We're not going to go into the guilt, innocence, intention, or whatnot.
Right.
All we know is that all of the cards that were marked in his deck were all Tron lands.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
There were the four power plants were marked one way. Three of the mines, three of the towers were marked a different way, and then one tower and one mine were also marked a different way to match two of the other three. So it was those 12 lands were marked a specific way so that basically if you looked at the deck and you knew what was in there, that you would know, okay, I'm drawing an Urza's power plant this turn. So
right.
We're not going to get into whether or not he did it on purpose. I mean, he's a longtime professional player.
Yes. No, I'm just kidding. Allegedly.
I mean, it does look very suspicious. It's hard to rationalize and talk away how those 12 specific cards were the only ones marked in his deck. It's unfortunate that it had to happen right after he qualified for the top eight. Apparently, yeah. the sleeves that were provided to him were sleeves that were provided by Wizards for the tournament, which apparently have a lower quality than normal sleeves, which is, I guess, is what people have been saying. But I don't know. It sucks. It's never the type of thing you want to talk about when it comes to a Mythic Championship. You want to talk about who won the tournament, how the tournament went. You never want to talk about a disqualification. But here we are. So,
well, and that, and he is a member of the UP of the MPL.
Yes, he is.
Like that. And I'm sorry for your league to have some, you know, like to be considered legitimate. I firmly believe that not only should he be disqualified, but I mean the MPL should and has to act.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's like a suspension or ejection from the league, because yeah. We also had a roster change in the MPL recently. Owen Turtenwald was removed from the MPL and replaced by Autumn Pershett. Wizards hasn't given any official statement as to why Owen was removed. Some of you may recall he was also pulled out of the Mythic Invitational the night before the tournament started. The rumors were it was for his health. That ended up not being true. There's other rumors floating around as to why he was removed. Something about sexual assault / harassment.
Yep.
We're not going to get into that either because nobody's made any statements. We don't want to accuse anybody of anything. Wizards has said nothing. Owen Turtenwald has said nothing.
But he's gone, and it's probably on
advice of counsel. You know, their lawyer saying keep your mouth shut until the investigation's done. It's been talked to a lot on Reddit and other boards. They've already discussed that to death, so we're not going to get into that. So needless to say, Autumn Burchett is now part of the MPL. Congratulations to them. They took Owen's spot. They have announced the beginning of league play for the MPL. So that's going to be starting soon. See if I can find that for you real quick. That is going to be starting on May 11th. They've split the 32 pros into four divisions, aptly named the Pearl Division, Emerald Division, Ruby Division, and Sapphire Division. There's no Jet Division, which I think is
Opal?
Biased. Well, Opal's not part of the original mock set.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So.
Well, there's that. So, yeah, it's sad that it happens. It's not unusual these days, unfortunately. Yeah. But, I mean, with that, I mean, I definitely, you know, I wish him the best. I have a feeling, you know, yeah, he should be definitely DQ'd. I mean,
we're talking about you, BDM. Right?
Yeah, put BDM in the MPL. But with that, I think we should just get ourselves all set here. And
end step.
All right, so we're going to start picking up our cards here, putting them in the boxes. And we just want to let you guys know where you can find us through the various places on the interwebs. Both Aramis and I stream Arena on the Planestalker podcast channel on Twitch. It actually hosts us from our own personal ones. So go there and look up Planestalker podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73.
I am also on Twitch. I have not been on recently, various reasons. I'm hoping to get back on the horse there soon. I keep saying that, but things haven't worked out. Dead horse, I know. Are we talking about Nexus of Fate again already?
Say hi to your mom for me.
Wow. things have been going on, so I haven't had a chance to get settled in with a regular schedule on Twitch. I'm hoping to be able to do that at some point soon. I'll definitely let you guys know when that happens. But when I am on Twitch, I am at RMECWRX. If Twitter is more your speed, I also don't have a Twitter account. We've talked about this before. But I do check the Twitter feed. We are at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter. So if you want to hit us up with a tweet, that's where you'll find us.
And my personal Twitter, because, you know, I'm all technological.
Ew, look at you.
Is at WR Benson. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planestalkers Podcast and like and follow our page. You can watch us record live every Monday at around 8-ish.
8-ish, depending on, you know, issues and stuff. But, yeah, usually about that time. Monday nights is when we're on.
Monday nights.
Finally, you can send us emails. We didn't get any this week. Makes me sad.
Nope. It does me too.
So you can send us emails or even ask advice in our Ask Aramis section. I can offer you advice and tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices, things of that nature. And if you do want to send us an email, our email address is podcast@planestalkerpodcast.com.
Okay, and we also really want to encourage you guys to, we are available. You can download our show anywhere. You can grab a podcast. But if you do use the lovely, you know, well, they kind of started podcasting, the Apple Podcast Store. We'd really like you guys to go into iTunes there and leave us a review, hopefully positive. It does help bring more eyes to the show. Every positive review eventually gets us noticed. You know, and Apple will put us in various places. But you can also find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on the Satchel Podcast Player. You can find us on Spotify and any place else you can listen to a podcast. And if you go looking for us on a podcast host and we're not there, send us an email, let us know, and I'll get us in there. But with that, you know, we want to start going ahead and start bringing ourselves out of here. You know, so for Aramis Perez, I am Will Benson. I want to thank you guys for listening tonight. We will be back next week talking maybe about some drafting, talking about, you know, War of the Spark release. We'll have some information about the Star City Games event and all that. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying remember to always keep some of your lands untapped because you never know when you're going to need them. Take care and have a great week.